Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation. Thank you for joining. Today is going to be a interesting concept that I wanted to talk about, and it is around the concept of a gift, and what's really a gift, and what's maybe more of a trade. And a lot of times these things get very confused. And I've had some kind of interesting experiences that helped me down the path that I wanted to share with everybody related to this. And I guess the story starts off long ago. I have a sister that I love very much. I have actually 8 sisters. I love them all very much. And I would have liked to do this for every single one of them. But circumstances, you know, sometimes change. And so I'm not capable at certain points in my life. And other points in the life was capable. But years ago, I had purchased one of my sisters, who was going through a tough time, a brand new Mercedes-Benz 300E or something like that. I don't know. It's a four-door, you know, the medium-sized four-door Mercedes. And anyway, it was a joy to give her this gift. And I had another one of my sisters who imparted to me a piece of wisdom. And the piece of wisdom was a gift is not truly a gift if we have a condition on it. If you give a gift, enjoy, and allow the person to do anything they want, you have no attachment to the outcome. They can take the gift, throw it in the trash. They can take the gift and do anything they want with it. They can re-gift it to somebody else. Once it's gone, it's truly gone. And I'm telling this story because I encountered a friend of mine who was having problems with releasing a gift that was given to him. And people were putting a bunch of conditions on it after the fact. So I had shared the story of my sister. I gave her this Mercedes, and it was a joyful event, and I truly gifted it to her. When I did that, I let go of whatever she was going to do with it. And years later, it turned out that she had given it to her son, who I also love. And I felt nothing about it. I'm like, great. You know, it's none of my business. And I'm happy. I'm happy that he's driving this car. Eventually, that car got totaled. He had gotten in an accident and he was not injured. He was just fine. And I was very happy about that. I could have never foreseen those circumstances when I did give her the car, but it's very interesting how that car potentially had something to do with his being alive or being safe or, not being injured in a way that he might have been in a different car. The car was rated very, very safe, how Mercedes is. So if I was to restrict her back in the day, this is the only thing that can be done, and you're the only driver, if you sell it because you need the money, or you borrow against it because you need the money, none of my business. Enjoy yourself. And with that, I didn't constrict her or anyone else in what they do. And what that did for me in the process was it freed me. That outlook, that feeling creates a freeing in me. Oh, so that I don't feel anything when somebody makes a different choice than, maybe I intended or whatever. So this ends up as a really a kind of an amazing change that ends up really being of service in a much greater way than I could have expected. The lesson on, because lessons tend to repeat themselves over time, some aspect that you hadn't got, there was a kind of an amazing story that happened to me, maybe over well over a decade now. And it was related to, again, this giving, giving a gift. And the story goes like this. I was on Rosecrans Boulevard in San Diego, and it was the middle of summer, and I had all four windows down on the car. I was kind of enjoying the heat, of summer and the wind blowing as I was northbound on Rosecrans, and traffic stopped, at a light, and I was there at the light, and I looked over, and there was a homeless person, with a sign, need money or help, and I looked at him. I waved him over, and my intention was to give him $1. And I reached in my pocket, as I had I had money in my pocket. I reached in to grab a dollar in my pocket with, because I'm looking forward. I just figured I'd just pull out a dollar, and I pulled out a $20 bill. And when I pulled out this $20 bill, I looked at it and I go, oh my gosh, it's a $20 bill. I can't give him that. It's $20. And I see him's walking towards me, and he's coming, towards me. And I go, well, something inside of me was like, well, I guess he's getting $20 today. And I handed him the $20, and we looked in each other's eyes, and it was the most amazing connection. He was like, really? Really? Are you sure? And I was like, yes. And I could see his happiness, and I could see how he was just so overjoyed. And I was like, yes, and that connection and that joy he felt from getting that $20 was just absolutely amazing. I was like so happy that he was happy. And in that moment, I was like, I don't care. It is absolutely none of my business if he goes and buys a six-pack of beer with it. Whatever he does with it, if he anything, if that gives him joy, there you go. He's free, completely free to do anything he wants with it. I let go of an outcome other than he's happy. He's happy. And even if he bought a six pack, of beer or whatever, maybe it just took him out of his misery for just a little brief period of time. Yeah, I know, I know. But anyway, it was amazing. It gave me such joy, and it was such a sincere, authentic connection that I really felt like, oh my gosh, I want to do more of this. The thing is, I had given a lot of money in the past to people and not even looked at them, not connected with them, and also maybe not given them as much as I could have. So this was a very different experience. But where this story starts to get really weird is when the light turned green. When the light turned green, there was this overwhelming smell of roses. The car was wide open, but it was as if there was an 18-wheeler ahead of me, and the entire thing was open and it was stuffed with roses. I mean, it was overwhelming smell of roses. That was just unbelievable. I was shocked as I was driving away. The guy was waving at me and so happy, and this intense smell of roses. And from earlier in my life, I knew, because I had researched it before, that the smell of roses is often accompanying the Virgin Mary. When she shows up, there's a lot of rose smell. And that's a whole subject about how that works and the frequency of the smell. They've actually done some scientific tests of the frequencies of different smells, and roses are very high frequency. So it kind of stands to reason. But on my way home, what I did was I gave out one $20 bill after the next at every stop sign. It was just so good, to do that. I got to my house and I parked my car, and this is when my daughter was very young. I got out of the car and went over to the front of the house, and I walked in the front of my house, and my wife was like, "We need milk. We need milk." For my daughter's bottle, and I was like, "Oh, well, I don't want to lose my parking space, so I'm gonna go and use the other car, that we had behind the house." And I got the keys for that, and I walked out the back door. And as soon as I walked out the back door, the most amazing experience. About maybe 25 yards away, there was this incredible explosion. It was about maybe 6 feet, 7 feet off the ground. There was an explosion of blue white light. And it looked like a transformer blowing out of nowhere. I looked and it was, and I was like, "Wow, what the heck was that?" And then a flood of that rose smell came. Anyway, the amazing thing about that experience was that It's almost as if it was being observed, not almost, I guess it was being observed interdimensionally, and such a significant event which is all about connection, connection and being able to give without judgment, judgment. So hang with me here for a second. We're going to go to our sponsor now and here on UK Health Radio, and we'll be right back after we hear from them on this break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. Okay. Well, we're just talking about in the last portion of this about that experience of that light, that transformer blowing in the alley behind my house. It was absolutely shocking. This came after the giving that $20 to that homeless person and really connecting with them and being overjoyed for that person, no matter what the outcome, no matter what they spent their money on. I was so happy for that person and so connected. So I've reflected on this. I've had time because obviously it was a significant event, enough significance that it drew in some interdimensional, for lack of a better word, some attention from some I don't know what you'd want to call it, but some higher consciousness beings, angelic realm, I don't know. But it certainly drew in the attention. And I think that was really important moment because it helped me to understand after the fact, and it took a while to digest, but the help for another when they're in need, number one. Number two is to truly connect. A gift is not really a gift if we're having a judgment with it, we feel sorry for the person or whatever. It is a gift when we really experience the joy with them and uplift them from whatever it is, and join with them in joy, helping to multiply joy. So if I was to give that gift and I was like, you know, this is only for the purpose of, food. This is only for the purpose of, buying a pair of gloves, whatever be the case. When I start putting that restriction and what this person should and shouldn't do and that sort of thing, it's a restriction for them. But really, what I'm doing is I'm restricting my joy. Amazing concept, isn't it? I'm restricting my joy. I'm limiting the joy that I can have out of this because I'm saying premeditated. I'm saying that with this expectation, if you don't take this money and, go down to McDonald's and buy yourself a Big Mac, then I am going to feel very hurt and I'm going to feel betrayed and I'm going to feel like, well, I tried to do the good thing, but look at, I've been taken advantage of. Well, when we can do something like that, give whatever we give, and we're not setting a condition on it, everybody's free. And no matter what happens in the future, I can have joy. I can have the joy of it. The other aspect here that came out of this was connection. Connection. Really talking and looking somebody in the eye and being empathetic with them and to listen to them and connect with them. This really amazingly will produce some chemicals in your brain called oxytocin. It's the connection chemical. It's the chemical of love. If you can look at somebody in the eye and have that connection and that empathy and that desire for them to experience something better than they are right now, that's really helpful for you. It makes you feel good. So, this gift, this little $20 produced such amazing results for me and for him and helped my path along the way. Now, there's other people who have figured this out. And one of those people is the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos. Now, Jeff Bezos, his wife that when they got divorced, she ended up with many billions of dollars, many billions of dollars. And she ended up turning the entire philanthropy world on its head. Shocking. She went out. This is an amazing woman. Amazing woman. She went out and started researching. She had a team of attorneys. They would research different organizations, small not-for-profit organizations. And I think some of them, or a lot of them, were focused around women's issues and helping to lift women up. But I don't think it was just that. I think she did many, many things. But what she ended up doing was completely against the grain of philanthropy. And she gave the gifts with no strings attached. The attorneys would call up, XYZ not for profit, or they would email XYZ not for profit. Hi, we have a no gifts, no strings attached gift for your not for profit. Just we, the way that Jeff Bezos's wife put it was, I'm giving this gift to you, and you will know the right thing. There are no strings attached to it. Use it however you see fit. Now, that's not how it works. That's not how, as we say, that's not how it's done, son. When these gifts are given, typically to a not-for-profit, they're going to say, this is the terms and conditions. I want you to utilize this money for this purpose. And by the way, I'm going to have you for this grant report back to me that you did it. All right? I said, I want you to do this. And then they're gonna report back their milestones and maybe even release a little bit more and a little bit more and as you go along, and they build up trust. Now, I understand the logic and reasoning and all of that. It's interesting though that when those gifts are given, with terms and conditions that are attached to them, which makes logical sense to me. They have some sort of restriction, and also it could be, not a full trust like Jeff Bezos's ex-wife. She abounds in unconditional trust. And these not-for-profits, they flourished. You can imagine there's an overhead, right? When there's a limited amount of trust. When there's some sort of limited amount of trust, then you have to have somebody in the organization that does compliance, and has got a report, right? That's an overhead. I got an employee that's got a report back, and if we don't report back on this, that, and the other, I'm not going to get more money, and so on and so forth. So it takes time, attention, money in order to report back to whoever has given the grant. And there's also different systems out there that report back on not-for-profits and how they're doing and that sort of thing. So she had done this on a grand scale. We're talking billions of dollars flooding the market of these not-for-profit, small not-for-profits who are always struggling, There's always a fundraiser, or they're always trying to find a way to fund their not small not-for-profit. So having somebody out there on a massive scale, and when I say massive, I mean the width and the depth, giving away large sums of money to these not-for-profits. Now, she relied on her attorneys to do research, and find these companies, and she had never even met them. She'd not gotten any service from them. She'd never met them. She didn't know them. Just cutting checks like crazy. Well, the offer sounds so too good to be true that many of those not-for-profits never replied to the emails. They were like, "Well, this is going to be, some sort of there's a word for it, but there's a scam that in Nigeria. I'm sure everybody's probably gotten the email by now. It's like, I used to be the treasurer for the state of Nigeria, and you've been selected to because of your reputation. I have $10 million in an account, and I need you to just store this money in your account. I'll transfer the money that I just secretly got a hold of because of some situation." So anyway, that was a big one back in the day. There's obviously new ones today of different scams all around the world that they're doing, but it sure sounded like a scam. But Jeff Bezos's wife was for real and really did it, and it forced all of these other philanthropists to start reevaluating. Maybe I should look at things with a greater degree of trust. And that started creating some, not all, but some more loosening up of terms and conditions around funds. These funds for these not-for-profits. Okay, we've come against our next break here to hear from our sponsors. And UK Health Radio, take it away.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back. We were just talking about Jeff Bezos's wife and giving philanthropic gifts, hundreds and hundreds and millions of dollars, cumulatively in the many billions of dollars now that she's gone out and helped all of these small not-for-profits all across the world without any condition on it. She's just like, here you go, here's your gift. Do what you like. I know you're going to do the right thing. I know you're going to do right by it. And that's it. Thank you very much. Here's your check. So with that, you can imagine in giving away billions of dollars, and if somebody was, and you did have terms and conditions on it, that's an awful lot of communication back at you. It's a lot of communication, and is it really happening? And if it's not, the lawyers and different things that happen after the fact. So, we're talking about gifts. When we give a gift with a term or condition, you might call it a premeditated resentment. If I have all the expectations, then if they're not met, and those expectations could be in writing, they could just be in my mind. Like, for example, if I give a gift, I expect a thank you. Well, if I don't get my thank you, I'm like, wait a second, I didn't get a thank you. Where's my thank you card? They must be a blah blah. They must be, real self-centered person. Well, when we do that without expectations, we have no premeditated resentment, and that is freeing. So this subject of gifting also has another thing that I had never considered. And a very wise person once told me about. And that was that when we go to, on the opposite side of things, go to receive, how we receive a gift says really how we feel about the person who gave it. The perfect example of this is if a child comes home from kindergarten and draws some artwork for you, for mommy, for daddy, for brother. Hey, I made you this. Now, what we typically do, the typical person will be like, you made that for me? And it's all jacked up, it's something from a preschooler, they're not inside the lines, it's something that a preschooler would do. But the way you receive it is says about our ability to receive and how we feel about the person who gave us the gift. It's not the gift. It's how I feel about the person who gave it to me. How many of us have given a gift to somebody and then found them like, that's not what I wanted. That's not the color I wanted. That's not the style, I wanted. I don't like that. I like this. So what that really is a statement, really not about the gift, but about how they're feeling. How they're feeling. They may have felt like nobody ever listens to me. Nobody really cares. Which kind of goes back to that original thing we talked about, the connection. The connection. That connection is everything. And that's what, when you give a gift, that is so important. The connection. Really feeling it. So, the typical situation that you might find yourself in a relationship that is like parents to child, or it is spouses. Notice how the receiving is. And when you notice that, it's an opportunity to, if it's not going well, they're really sending subtle signals that I need help. I'm not feeling so good. You know, if the gifts are not received as intended, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. I don't feel good about the relationship. I don't feel like I was loved. I don't feel like I was heard, and that sort of thing. Now, it could also be something inside of me. And we have found with Cogna Movement that whatever we're thinking and feeling really impacts another person. There was a, and to illustrate this, there's this unbelievable story that came out of our one of our practitioners in Australia. Now, her name, you can see her on the practitioner, you know, find a practitioner. Her name's Tia. And Tia has a daughter by the name of Bowie. Now, Bowie has a an disease called maybe it's a disease or I don't know what you call it, but it's a diagnosis of Angelman syndrome. I should say that. It's called Angelman syndrome. And it's not called Angelman syndrome for no reason. When you see the daughter Bowie, this Angelman syndrome, I remember the first time I was on Zoom, and she came and she looked onto the camera. And as soon as she looked on the camera, I was like, oh my God, this tremendous feeling of love erupted in me. As I looked at her, I was like, oh my God, wow, this little girl was emanating this love that you could feel. Oh, hence they call it Angelman syndrome. So it's so cool to be around Bowie because, you know, it's a palpable feeling. But she was Bowie is nonverbal and didn't have very good control over her limbs and body. And from birth, she was in diapers, and she every time that she would go to the bathroom, number two, she would scoop it out of the diaper and start painting everything with it. She painted the dog. She painted the table. If her mom's sleeping in the bed with her, you know, down the side of the hair. Like, oh my gosh, it was really, really bad. You know, and it until she was about 9 years old. They had replaced, I think, something like seven, eight couches. I mean, it's like crazy. They call it fecal painting, fecal smearing. And you can imagine multiple times a day this is happening, you know. And Liz Larson had suggested that Tia, the mother, do a session around her feelings about, you know, everything is got poop on it, everything, and it's going on for years, the frustration with this. And Tia did this cognitive movement session. Now, by cognitive movement, these are certain movements that you do with your eyes and your body, and it reveals to you things like for Tia, when she felt the feelings of horrible feelings around, all of this poop smearing, she ends up having a vision during her session where she was in New Zealand on her parents' ranch, and there were sheep farmers, and she walked into the slaughterhouse, and at 5 years old, the lambs are being slaughtered, and she's in shock, and she's like, as a 5-year-old, she says, "Can I help?" And then they're, "Yeah, take the entrails with all the poop out." And so she does this terrible, kind of like traumatic thing. Anyway, Tia was traumatized by that. But one of the things about cognitive movement is it cleared that neurological circuit that was in her body and brain, cleared. And since that day, it's now been years. And not only Tia stopped, I mean, Bowie, the daughter, Angelman syndrome, stopped fecal painting that day and hadn't done it since. And now she even goes to the toilet on her own. And it's been years. No more of it. My point of telling you that is that we affect the other person. And we don't know it, but our thoughts, our feelings are having an impact on the other person. So this is very important for really everything. We happen to be talking about gifts today and that sort of thing, but you can use it for, let's say, somebody else's anger, somebody else's resentments, somebody else's blame, somebody else's feelings about whatever, that things aren't going well in your house. You can let yourself feel it, do cognitive movement, and clear it up for yourself so you can be free where you don't feel it anymore. The anger, the resentment towards another, or whatever it might be. And the most amazing changes can happen in them as well as a side effect. You can get that program, the Essentials program, at cognomovement.com. That's cognomovement.com. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.